Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 7, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. On the good and faithful God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. Stand in awe and sin not. Bid your heart be still. And what follows? Psalter 7, the 3 stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 19, the verses 1 through 27. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 19, the first 27 verses. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto them, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that he was an austere man, taking up that he laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then thou gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has been morning, and now it has become evening of another Lord's day. Then thou hast carried us and our children upon the wings of mercy. Thou hast granted many gifts from above. May it please thee to grant unto us and our children what we cannot give unto ourselves, what we cannot give unto our fellow man, and that is a broken and a humble heart. Under all thy mercies and under all thy gifts, that by the work of thy Spirit, by the first time and by renewal, that we may receive a very low place at thy footstool, that thou may receive thy rightful place, where thou art high and lifted up, then also on this Lord's day, then thou hast made a great difference with most of the people upon the face of the earth, where there is war. Many have went hungry in this day. There are countries where there is persecution, great multitudes in hospitals on sick and deathbeds. There are many that are in prison, great numbers that are destitute, that are homeless, that know not whence they shall lay their head in this evening hour. Then we live in a day where there are so many broken up families. Oh, Lord, what a privilege and what a blessing it is. When love may still abound, then we may still have thy holy word, where it may be declared a rich Savior for a poor sinner. and the precious work of thy Spirit to bring thy blood-bought bride to that greater bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was fairer than the children of men, and where grace is poured out upon his lips. And Lord, thou hast declared in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching that thou shalt save some. Ah, may it please thee to do it in this evening hour, when by renewal we are gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, and that it may be for the instruction, the correction of thy true people. Ah, we have heard it in this morning. If thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Ah, we have heard of a waiting and a hoping people, and that people shall not wait in vain. Ah, to that end, wilt thou grant unto us and our children the spirit of prayer and supplication, earnestly beseeching thee for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name, Lord. Do bless thy holy word in the church. Wilt thou remember and help the consistory to that end? Do bless thy holy word when it may be daily opened in the midst of the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to instruct their dear children in that aforesaid doctrine, as they have promised, as they have vowed, with the baptism of their children. Wilt thou remember our Christian school, where the school year is coming closer to an end. We may acknowledge thee that hitherto that thou wast spared the staff, that thou wast spared the students. We humbly ask thee, may thou continue to do so. Grant traveling mercies to and fro. Wilt thou remember all those that labor in our school. May it be done prayerfully and in a holy dependency upon thee. Once more we commend thy church unto thee. Remember our theological school, the instructors and the students. Remember the persecuted church, where in this day they could not gather freely as we and our children. Ah, do remember all those that are in prison, separated from family and from the congregation, those that are tortured for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ah, Lord, we may still freely and unhindered come up to thy house. We commend unto thee the Jewish nation. May it please thee to take the veil away. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. We commend unto thee thy servants, and remember the church workers. May it please thee to incline another heart to that end. Remember all Bible translators, those who bring thy word to the ends of the earth, many times with much opposition, difficulties, and impossibilities, and may thy word be blessed. Lord, we commend unto thee the young couple who were united in holy matrimony in the past week, and where this Lord's Day may be the first Lord's Day as husband and wife. Ah, may it please thee to bless thy holy word and to convert them as thou doth convert all thy people. Do remember all the family circles. May love abound when it is different. Wilt thou grant repentance? Wilt thou grant much prayer? Wilt thou remember all those that are struggling with addictions and temptations? May it please thee to remember them. May they be given to beg earnestly, using the means, and that Thou may grant restoration. Lord, remember all the handicapped ones amongst us, the difficulties of the body, the difficulties of the mind. We commend each and every one unto Thee. Also those times when they become discouraged, may their eyes be upon Thee. By renewal we commend unto Thee all the mourning ones. There are many amongst us. Remember all the elderly ones with the increase of the infirmities. And do remember all the sick and afflicted, the dreaded disease, other cares and many fears, with all the sick relatives among young and old. May Thou surround them with Thy care and with Thy compassion, and may all the callings be sanctified in all, Lord. When Thou granteth a fair measure of health, may we be given to pause oftentimes and to consider all Thy goodness and to examine how we use our strength and our health, whether it is only for our daily bread or whether it is also a seeking of Thee, a waiting of Thee, even in the night watches, a waiting for the morning to arrive. Lord, remember prodigal sons and daughters that are wandering upon the face of the earth. Keep us and our dear children under the truth, and may that truth be blessed, that truth may make us free. Then it is well for time and for eternity. Oh, do bind the solemnity and reality of life upon all our hearts, the shortness thereof, and the certainty of death, judgment, and eternity, and that there is only one step between us and death, that there shall also be a last time, that we come up to Thy house to hear Thy word. Oh, do impress it upon our hearts, that it could even be this evening hour, and to that end the necessity of a hastening for our life's sake. Remember the nations of the earth. Remember our poor nation. Remember our province. We have departed so far from Thee. Thy judgments are hanging low over the earth. Ah, may we be given to see it, and may we be given to seek a sheltering place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel, Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. When Thou grantest then on the coming Lord's Day, then we hope to remember and commemorate that glorious and rich outpouring of Thy Holy Spirit. Well, Thou remember us and our children with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. And now, Lord, in this evening hour, well, Thou send down Thy Spirit. Well, Thou grant Thy gracious help. Grant Aaron's and hers among young and old. Remember all the listeners. Remember the little boys and the little girls. Remember our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, and those at home with the little ones when they may listen along in their homes. Grant also a blessing there. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 325, the four stanzas. Teach me, O Lord, Thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows. Psalter 325, the four stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour with the Lord's help. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 42, the question and answers 110 and 111. Question 110, what doth God forbid in the eighth commandment? Answer, God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, else measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse, and waste of his gifts. Question 111, what doth God require in this commandment? Answer, that I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. Lord's Day 42 speaks of the eighth commandment concerning our stewardship with four thoughts. First, the magnitude of this stewardship. Secondly, the protection for this stewardship. Thirdly, the love required in this stewardship. And fourthly, the responsibility of this stewardship. The eighth commandment concerning our stewardship. The magnitude, the protection, the love required, and the responsibility of this stewardship. Thus first, the magnitude of this stewardship. Beloved congregation, we have heard from the sixth commandment that the Lord has given a commandment concerning the protection of our life. The seventh commandment concerning the protection of married life. And now in this commandment concerning our possessions. Then it is clear in the scriptures that the Lord implies that we have a right, a gift from heaven, to own possessions. And to that end, this commandment that speaks about our stewardship, do we many times have questions concerning our stewardship? Does it oftentimes bring us on our knees? Because that stewardship, that is a solemn thing. Then undoubtedly there are boys and girls that think in this evening that is a big word. What does stewardship now mean? Give a simple example. If you have now a neighbor with a few sheep, and that neighbor leaves for a few days, and that neighbor comes and says, "Boy, girl, are you willing to take care of my sheep?" Then you become a steward of those sheep. Then you are called to care for them. Of course, ask the Lord that he may spare those sheep, that they do not become sick, and that the neighbor says, "I will give you your wages." We have heard out of Luke 19 that there was a certain one that went to a far country, and he gave to those servants each a pound. They were to be stewards over that pound. And now concerning that stewardship, the Lord grants many things concerning that stewardship. Our health, our strength, it concerns the earning of our money, the safeguarding of the same, and how we spend it. We have an example in the Bible of a man who was a very bad steward. That was Nabal. He was not lazy. The Lord has richly blessed him. I read in 1 Samuel 25, 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats and many servants. And then once a year they were called to shear those sheep. That was a great task. But now we read of Nabal that he was churlish, that means a very rough man, and that he was evil in his doings. And then we even read in that chapter that he was drunk, representing what a terrible thing it is when fathers with their paycheck, when they go to the beer store or to a bar, instead of going to their wife and family circle to help, we read of Nabal that he became drunk. And further, David with his servants, then he has been as a wall around the servants of Nabal. And then David has sent a few of his men and to ask for some provision, but then Nabal refused. He did not have a liberal heart for the poor, and undoubtedly, because in Bible times, for every $10 that a person earned, then the first dollar was to be laid aside for the service of the Lord, and then it is very clear that Nabal did not serve the Lord. He did not love the Lord. He only thought of himself. But then we read also of what an Abigail had done. She was a wise woman. Then she realized that David needed to be appeased, and therefore she has ordered asses with bread, with wine, with sheep, and with raisins. And she was given to fall down before David and declare the situation. That is so necessary for us. That as an Abigail, we may fall before the Lord with a confession of our sins and a repentance. The magnitude of this stewardship. Thus that stewardship implies, that speaks of given good, given for a purpose. We read of another man that was not such a good steward. That was that rich farmer in Luke 12. The Lord has richly blessed him. His crops look beautiful. But how has he spoken? "My fruits, my barns, my goods." And he did not mention the Lord. That it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Thus concerning this stewardship, then it is necessary that we have an impression that everything comes from above, and everything actually belongs to the Lord, because they read in Psalm 24 verse 1 that the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof, and in Psalm 50 verse 10 that the cattle upon 1,000 mountains in the forest, they are the Lord's. In Haggai 2 verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. And now the Lord in his great goodness, then he grants those gifts unto the children of men, that they may use them, that they may enjoy them. But it is only for a time, and at the end they must give an account, because they read in Luke 16 that it is written, give an account of your stewardship. And now the eighth commandment, in the context of gratitude, comes to all of us. Thou shalt not steal. Then the question is, why do the sons and daughters of Adam steal? That is because they are a thief. We have become a thief in paradise. We have stole that forbidden fruit and robbed God of his honor. Thus, because we are thieves, therefore we steal. Second reason is unbelief. That we do not really believe that the Lord has everything in his hands, and that it is the Lord that must keep us, protect us, and bless us. Because if we truly believe that everything comes from above, that everything depends upon the blessing of the Lord, that in a moment, as in the life of Job, in a short time, the Lord can remove all our blessings, then surely we would think twice about stealing. To give an example, if a person goes to his bookkeeper with a tax form and he is not honest on the income side, the expense side, then surely such a one does not really believe that it is the Lord that must protect him on his journey, that the Lord can give that he comes in an accident, that in a moment his whole vehicle is destroyed, that he does not even have a vehicle to travel, and even that the Lord can suddenly take his life away. Thus, it is because of unbelief. It is that we do not trust in the Lord. To make that simple, what would a father and mother think if they found out that they had a son and daughter, that they had a secret piggy bank? And then father and mother said, son and daughter, where does that money now come that is in that secret piggy bank? And they would be given to confess, father and mother, now and then I have stolen a dollar, a loonie, a toonie, and even from a few other people, because I was afraid that you would not care for me. Maybe you would not provide. So I thought, if I have some extra money, even though I steal it, then I have a little extra. Ah, we could bring it over. That unbelief, not trusting, not believing. Do we ever ask each other and ourselves, what do we really believe? Because if we really believe that the Lord has everything in his hand, that everything depends upon the blessing of God, and that the Lord grants the proper portion, which he sees fit, then we would be more reluctant to steal further can be. It's not easy to be poor. Oh, that God-fearing anger in Proverbs 30, the verses 7 through 9, that man had much self-knowledge. He says, Lord, feed me with convenient food for me. He saw the danger if he was rich, that he would deny his God and say, where is the Lord? Or if he was poor, that he would be tempted to steal, aroused to self-pity, given to see how much the rich have, much more than they need. Maybe someone so rich that does not know what to do with his riches. And I, as a father, struggling to provide for my family, and even greater, to go hungry, thus not agreeing with the Lord. We steal because of discontent, when we are not satisfied with what the portion that the Lord gives. It is because of a covetous heart that we desire more. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, then he has spoken to his disciples and the multitude concerning these matters, what the Lord gives, what the Lord provides. And then he has said to the disciples, O ye of little faith, it is necessary with all our trials, our difficulties, then to be given to consider what we deserve. In the second place, what the Lord gives. We read in Psalm 119, verse 96, I have seen the end of all things, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Our second thought, the protection for this stewardship. It is remarkable how often in the Bible that money and stewardship is mentioned. A certain one has stated by searching the Bible, out of the 31,173 verses, as 700 of those verses, they speak of money. And 2,000 in total speak of stewardship, money, and the matters related to it. And now concerning what the Lord forbids, then our instructors have said God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices. Thus the instructors make it clear, not only a bank robbery, but when we appropriate to ourselves in an unlawful and wrong way what belongs to our neighbor. And out there are many things that we can steal. Material possessions. We may speak of time. When we are too late for work, then we are stealing from our employer. When we steal wisdom, when in our studies we copy from our neighbor, when we steal honor, take honor to ourselves, that does not apply. Of course, we could also speak of spiritual robbery. Then in the next place, IDs, they're for the government, there are patents. Steal people, think of slavery. And now concerning material stealing, examples in the Bible, Rachel has stole a god out of her father's house, and Achan has stolen what was forbidden what belonged to the Lord. Then our instructors also mention unjust weights. The instructors mention things in this answer in our day. Then the government has made many laws concerning those things. And the government has not an easy position when a people departs from God's word. And when greed takes over, then many times the government is forced to make regulations which should not be necessary, but it is already written of in the Old Testament, because we read in Deuteronomy 25 verse 13 of two different weights where people traded with, those boys and girls in the olden days. Then when something was bought, let's say for a family that needed wheat to make flour for their bread, then such a businessman would have a scale with two containers pivoting in the middle, and then such a businessman, such a seller, he would put a weight on the one side, let's say 1 pound, and then he would put enough wheat on the other side so it was level. But now there were businessmen that had two different weights in their pocket. One that was heavier than a pound. Thus, when he bought that wheat, he would take that heavier weight out of his pocket and put it on the scale. So that means when he was buying wheat, he was buying more than a pound's worth. And then, if a family, a mother, maybe a boy or girl, would come to that businessman, and he says, I need a pound of wheat. Do you know what that man would then do, boys and girls? Then he would take a lighter weight that was less than a pound. So that means that the one who was purchasing received less than his money's worth. Of course, a businessman may have a profit, because that businessman, he also needs to support his family. Thus, it is not wrong that there is a difference between the price that you buy and sell a product. That is, an allowable profit must be reasonable. Of course, when there is someone very poor, then it is good when we give them a break. But then even the children can understand what a dishonest man was with two weights in his pockets. Then we could mention false advertising, when we sell something, when there is a hidden fault, that we do not honestly tell the buyer what is wrong with it. Then further, concerning the government, we have mentioned tax forms. I read in Matthew 22, verse 21, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and unto God the things that belong to God. When we borrow, and when we know we can never pay back, it also falls under this commandment. Employers, when they do not pay a sufficient wage that their employees may provide for their families, that was greatly so in former ages, it all falls under this commandment. Then we could speak of lotteries, gambling. I hope, people, we do not do that. Then we are trying to enrich yourself at the expense of our neighbors. Then we see that this commandment is exceeding broad. To still a blessing when God's word may have a place, when we still have a speaking conscience. Sometime concerning these matters, there can be a great strife between our covetous heart, our selfishness, discontentment, and a speaking conscience. No wonder is that strife, then how necessary to bow our knees and to ask the Lord the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Concerning stealing, Matthew Henry, you know who that is, right, boys and girls? He has written a commentary, an explanation of the Bible that is good in the families. When there are questions, that you also search it out further. And Matthew Henry has written that he was on a journey, maybe went to preach someplace, and that there came a robber and took all his money. And then he has come home and given to reflect upon what has taken place. And then he received a very humble and broken heart, where in the first place he was given to consider that he has traveled much and he was never robbed before. In the second place, he was given to consider that it was not all his money. He still had more at home. Then in the third place, he was given to consider and thank the Lord that the robber has taken his money and not his life. And one more thought he was given to think about. What do you think that was? You had been robbed like Matthew Henry. What else would you think? Then he was very thankful that he was the one that was robbed and that he was not the robber. Our third thought, the love required in this stewardship, let us first sing. A Psalter 305, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. How blessed the man who fears the Lord and greatly loves God's holy will. His children share his great reward, and blessings all their days shall fill. And what follows, Psalter 305, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. the eighth commandment concerning our stewardship. The magnitude of the stewardship, the protection for the stewardship, and now thirdly, the love required in this stewardship. The second table, the sum thereof is that I love my neighbor as myself, that I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instant I can or may. Concerning business life, then there can be two opposite ways. There have been business people that have too blindly trusted their fellow men, and not considering that we live in a fallen world and that many have taken advantage of them. There are others that are too full of suspicion, that hardly trust anyone. Perhaps sometimes those people, because their dealings are not so honest themselves. Thus also concerning this commandment, then we need to pray much. Then our instructors are given to say what we find in Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men would do to you, do you even so to them. Then our instructors are given to speak in every instant. We also need to ask the Lord that we may have eyes to see, to realize when there are those opportunities, when we can help our fellow man. It can be that we are given to reflect and given to think what a beautiful opportunity that the Lord has placed on my pathway, and I was so dull of thinking and understanding, I have let that opportunity to go by. Then the instructors speak in every instance I can. There are poor people that are not able to help their fellow men in an outward way so much, although it can be in the way of kindness and help. When we think of that widow of Zarephath, when the prophet Elijah has sent that prophet to that widow and asked that she may bake a little cake, then she was given to declare she was gathering sticks. She hoped to bake one more cake and then she would die. Nevertheless, the Lord has made it wonderfully well. And then it is written, in every instance I can or may. Sometime it is not wise to help certain people in certain ways. If there is a father that is addicted to evil things, if a drunkard would come to our door with a poor family, then of course it would not be wise to give a drunkard money, but then better to send a little food to that family. Thus in every instance I can or may and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. I read in Acts 20 verse 35 that it is better to give than to receive. When people withhold, and I hope that there are many that struggle with those matters with stewardship, that there are times the question is how to divide it up properly. how much for the Lord, how much for the poor, how much for the self and family. The necessity of much prayer. When we withhold what belongs to the Lord in Malachi 3 verse 10, then the prophet has said of the children of Israel that they have robbed God. And when we are not compassionate upon the poor, then many times it is given to be realized and seen in coming generations that the blessing of the Lord does not rest upon it. David, in this life, he had a desire to build the Lord a beautiful temple. But we read in 2 Samuel 7 that Nathan, as the mouthpiece for the Lord, said that his son Solomon would build it. And then we read that in his life, that David has gathered much gold and silver for the future temple, and how richly his kingdom was blessed, also Solomon. We read of Solomon that he was given to build the temple. It took 7 years. We read that he was given to build a beautiful house for him and his wife, and that took 13 years. The house was bigger than the temple. And what has now happened after Solomon has died? 5 years later, Shishak, the king of Egypt, has come and taken much gold and many horses. Our forethought, the responsibility of this stewardship. Further also, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. Concerning that faithful laboring, we read in our marriage form, the husband as the breadwinner, to faithfully labor that there may be something for the poor, and the wife to look well to the ways of her household. In Genesis 3 verse 19, we read that the Lord has said that man shall labor in the sweat of his face. It is a privilege when we may have labor, when we may have health and strength and joy in our labors. Of course, no perfection in this life. And now concerning that faithful laboring, then we are known to be a diligent people. That is a great privilege and blessing. And then, of course, boys and girls, when we hear of faithfully laboring, that also includes children with their studies, that they do their best. Not all the same talents, but that prayerfully, that we use the talents, that we try to improve them, which the Lord has given. Thus concerning that faithful laboring, not so much has to be said. Perhaps the admonishment, the loving rebuke, which the Lord Jesus Christ has given to Martha, a dear child of the Lord, that was given to serve with such a loving heart, was not for herself. She had a desire to prepare a delicious meal for the Lord Jesus Christ. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. and Mary has chosen the good part, is that also necessary for us in this busy time? It's not also simple. Cost a lot to raise a family. Maybe in this evening, their husbands and fathers that are saying what a struggle it is in the busyness of life to divide our time aright between our work, family, wife, children. It is not so simple. Then we do well concerning our labors to examine our hearts, the reason and the purpose why we are laboring. Is it mostly for self? Or can we say honestly before the Lord to provide in an honest way for our family, for the kingdom of God, and that I may help the poor? Further, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. When we speak of faithfully laboring, it is not wrong when we may advance in this world, when the Lord grants the opportunities, but by renewal, to ask ourselves the reason and the purpose. We read in the Bible, rich and poor, the Lord is the maker of them all. It is necessary to have both in society, in community, in church. We need employers, we need employees. But with an impression, Proverbs 22, Proverbs 10 verse 22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Then we have also heard in answer 110, all abuse and waste of his gifts. We can all understand when we labor to serve the devil, to buy things that are sinful, sinful addictions, then it is included in this commandment. In the second place, then we are responsible stewards of what the Lord has given. And young people, when we are young, of course, when we study, it is more difficult. But when you may labor and you are still single, then you are responsible. Does not mean that we may not have anything, but that you may be given to save when the Lord grants it in marriage. We know that everything is costly. We read in Egypt when there was 7 years of plenty that Joseph has ordered those barns to be built, that when the years of famine shall come, that they would still have food, very necessary in the day that we live in. In the third place, we have mentioned that rich, foolish farmer, that with all our laboring and with our outward blessings, that we forget not about our never-dying soul. Christ has said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all other things shall be added unto it, the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added to it. an impression that we are stewards but for a time, and that time can come so abruptly to an end. Then in the next place, all waste of his gifts. Former generations, they were more careful. We have lived for many decades of much prosperity, but never to waste what the Lord grants unto us, the Lord Jesus Christ, both when he has fed the multitudes, 5,000 without men and children, and later by renewal, then both times he has ordered that everything that was left, that it may be gathered up. In the next place, I read in Philippians 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Frugal, a simple life with the blessing of the Lord, where love is. We live in a world that is consumer-oriented. Many advertisements that try to make us and our children believe that we need all the toys of the world to make us happy. But a home of simplicity, of moderation, where love dwells, and above all, to have that one thing needful. I read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment, that is great gain. By renewal, a narrow way. Not to be careless, have to be responsible, but not to be over anxious. Philippians 4, verse 6, careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Thus by renewal, examination how it is concerning the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And then we are all guilty. Then in the second place, prayer that we may be kept. The Lord may keep us. In the third place, confession and repentance. We have heard of Zacchaeus. Jesus has called him down from the tree. And then Zacchaeus in the way of gratitude. We have heard it that he has said, when Jesus has come in his house, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, implied that he has not been mindful enough of the poor. And if I have taken, he was given to consider it. He was not so sure anymore whether in his business life, whether he had defrauded. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And what else? The necessity to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, also concerning the sins against the eighth commandment. We have heard it, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who can stand? But thus none need to despair. Oh, it may be declared a rich Savior, as I read in Hebrews 7, verse 25, who can save to the uttermost, Lord? If thou shouldest mark iniquities, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee that thou wast given in other Lord's day to us and our children, yet a few words to speak. And may it please thee to grant thy blessing, that thou may be as the after preacher. We may commence in other week, we humbly beg of thee, that thou may graciously watch over us and our children, in the home, at work, on the way, at school, wherever we are called to be. Well, thou keep us from an unexpected and from an unprepared death. Well, thou keep us from sin and temptation. Lord, by renewal we commend unto thee the family circle, who are called upon to go to the cemetery. May the callings be sanctified. We commend unto thee the male members meeting that hopes to be held. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to remember us as a people, and that thou may guide, that thou may lead, that thou may care, that thou may be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and the prayer of a Moses of old, to need thy special presence. Lord, may our eyes be upon thee. We remember the desperate, the great need in the realm of nature. It is known unto thee. Thou granteth yet some clouds, and yet a little rain. Oh, we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, to grant refreshing rains for the crops and for the animals, and that also in this week, that the prayers may be multiplied, we're on the coming Sabbath day. We hope in a special way to meditate upon the glorious day of Pentecost, that thou may pour out those heavenly graces, the showers of thy Holy Spirit, upon us and our children in the latter days of the earth. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings? Wilt thou be the faithful keeper Israel over young and old in this night, that we may be privileged to awake in the morning hour, that we may receive health, strength, and courage for the labors which thou hast laid upon us. May we be found more to be a praying and a begging people. Pardon us of all of our sins also of this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 97, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. A little that the righteous hold is better far than wealth untold of many wicked men. And what follows, Psalter 97, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.